from the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. With the advent of the industrial society, man's activities have greatly affected the world's oceans. To what extent our oceans are being polluted by man is a subject which will soon be explored in a book entitled Impingement of Man on the Oceans, now being edited by Dr. Donald W. Hood, director of the University of Alaska's Institute of Marine Science. The subject of the book is also the subject of our interview today with Dr. Hood on This Is Your University. Dr. Hood, first off, could you tell our listeners just what is the University of Alaska's Institute of Marine Science?
Gladly. The Institute of Marine Science was founded in 1960 by an act of the legislature, and its purpose is to investigate the fundamentals of oceanography in waters contiguous to the state of Alaska. This means that this institute represents the only oceanographic institute which is primarily concerned with polar and subpolar oceanographic research that the U.S. Sponsors. The institute has grown from one person in 1961, who was Dr. K.M. Ray, now our Vice President for Research and Advanced Studies, to a complement of a total of 70 people at the present time, of which about 20 are doctorate level in training. It composes itself of people who are experts in biology, chemistry, physics, and geology, as these subjects pertain to study of the oceans. Our aim is to educate young men at the graduate level for research in oceanography and to represent a center of expertise for the nation in polar oceanographic research.
Dr. Hood, how large is your staff?
At the present time, our assistant professor and above complement is about 16. We are adding and subtracting, and there are some part-time people involved.
Dr. Hood, we read every day in the newspapers and we hear over radio and television of how man is devastating his natural resources. In your new book, which is coming out soon, which you are editing, can you tell us just what is the magnitude of man's encroachment upon his oceans?
Well, this is obviously a very difficult question, and which also makes the book a very difficult one to write. For this reason, the book will be written by many authors who are expert in particular fields. The extent of man's encroachment on the ocean, likewise, is a very difficult thing to assess. In the first place, the field of oceanography is not so old that we have sufficient data to go back very far in history to tell us what we've done in recent years. However, and also the ocean is very large, which makes our assessment of it a difficult proposition. However, there are certain things appearing on the horizon that lead many of us to think that we should look more carefully into the ocean's contamination from man's activities. We might mention a few of these as possible indicators that we're going further as technology advances into harmful additions to the ocean than we currently may be aware of. And the purpose of this book, of course, is to point out these areas which are dangerous, and at the same time, keep in mind that the ocean is one of our most highly potential resources for man's use, and we should design systems which would allow us to use it to its most extent possible, and yet keep it from being damaged by these same uses.
Impingement of Man on the Oceans, a new book being edited by Dr. Donald W. Hood, director of the University of Alaska's Institute of Marine Science. Our thanks to Dr. Hood for being our guest on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University of Alaska's Department of News Service in cooperation with University Radio Station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting System. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. The tasks performed by an institution, such as the University of Alaska, are varied and complex. These tasks produce an inescapable interdependence among the governing board, administration, faculty, students, and others. And the interdependence creates a relationship that calls for adequate communication and joint efforts, for the exercise of responsible policy and decision-making, for the ability to act when action is necessary. That is the opening paragraph in the final report of the University of Alaska Committee on Institutional Governance, a report published on December 15, 1967. In the 4 months since its issue, the report has had a significant and historic effect on the governmental structure of the University of Alaska. Events leading to this effect are the story today on This Is Your University. At the request of several advisory councils of the university, President William R. Wood established an ad hoc university committee on institutional governance. He appointed Dean of Students Lewis Haynes to chair the committee. That was in March of 1967. The committee was asked to study philosophies of government in American universities and report possible applications to the University of Alaska. By mid-December of 1967, the committee had published its final report. In the report, committee members cited several deficiencies in the system of governance as it existed then at the University of Alaska. Among these were, number one, lack of an appropriate body with primary authority for determining academic policy, and number two, lack of adequate faculty participation in policy and decision making. The report then recommended, and we quote, establishment of a university assembly as both a legislative body having primary authority to develop academic policy and a vehicle for the discharge of faculty responsibility for university-wide affairs, end quote. The report's recommendation for establishment of a university assembly was approved in principle by the Board of Regents, which sets university policy. Then President Wood, as the board's chief executive officer, appointed an implementation committee. The committee, headed by Dr. Charles Belke, Dean of the College of Mathematics, Physical Sciences, and Engineering, implemented a plan whereby 42 representatives were elected or appointed to sit on the new university assembly. The election was conducted in late March of this year. The new assemblymen represented all divisions of the university: academic faculty, research institutes, alumni, students, both graduate and undergraduate, administration, and others. Shortly after 4 p.m. on April 4th, President Wood convened the first meeting of the university assembly, thus setting a historic precedent in the governmental structure of the University of Alaska. The assemblymen elected Dr. Bruce R. Gordon as vice chairman and presiding officer, the assembly's highest elective post. Dr. Gordon, now completing his fifth year on the university's faculty, is the head of the Department of Linguistics and Foreign Languages. Under procedural rules, the university's president, Dr. Wood, automatically serves as assembly chairman. Although the university's assembly's authority is not spelled out in detail, it is expected to function primarily as a legislative body with responsibilities in academic matters, giving a broad-based voice to all who are directly concerned with the affairs of your university. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University of Alaska Department of News Service and radio station KUAC FM. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service. At college, this is your university. Festival held at your university, the well-known professor pianist Jean-Paul Biot performed as part of his concert three new preludes composed by U of A student Philip Craig Corey. Craig, a sophomore from Kenai, graduating school, came to the U of A in the fall of 1966 as a biology major, soon switched to English, and is now a music major in piano performance. Craig has been an honor student every semester. An interview with a student and a story today on This Is Your University. Craig, could you tell our listeners just how it was that you became interested in...
...inspired me. Ever since I was a kid, I can remember listening to classical music that my father played, and I didn't understand it, I didn't really know... And I can actually say that I've had very little training in music. In fact, the biggest influence on my music has been what I've heard, what I've listened to. There were several years when I lived out in the woods with my parents, nobody around, very isolated, and this has been a great source of inspiration to me also.
Just who are your favorite composers?
My favorite composers are Aaron Copland, probably most, and also Stravinsky and Scriabin. And Scriabin has been one of the biggest influences on my own music.
Who do you study under in the music department?
I study under Professor Jean-Paul Biot. He's been a great influence on me also. He's the one that influenced me in deciding to become a music major, and he's been a very excellent teacher as far as my piano performance.
Well, could you tell us about your new preludes that were performed by Professor Biot at the recent Fine Arts Festival?
Yes, the first prelude was written in the summer of 1966 before I had any musical training whatsoever. And it's an allegro. It relies mostly on harmony for its effect. The second prelude is a very slow, dreamy prelude, and it's built on fifths. And the third prelude is of a more violent nature. It's designed to show off the piano as well as the composer.
Well, Craig, where do you go from here? What are your future plans?
I plan to study for a year in Geneva next year, my junior year, and then I will return to the University of Alaska, where I will finish my senior year and graduate from here.
Philip Craig Corey, a student, composer, a creative artist at your university. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University of Alaska Department of News Service in cooperation with the University of Alaska's radio station KUAC-FM. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. The 1967-68 academic year at the University of Alaska is rapidly drawing to a close. And with its closing comes a host of spring activities, everything from Governor's Day to commencement to the opening of summer sessions. These several end-of-the-year activities are coordinated by the Office of University Relations. And today, Mr. Don Miller, Acting Director of University Relations, is our guest on This Is Your University. Mr. Miller, there are certainly many end-of-the-year activities, and they open this year with Governor's Day. Could you tell us just what it is?
Well, Governor's Day is the university's way of saying thank you to the Office of the Governor for his support of the university during the year, and for that matter, every year. Some of the activities that we always have scheduled for Governor's Day include the annual ROTC Awards program in the morning, and it is at this time that the governor delivers his annual talk to the university community. This is followed by a student reception, and this is immediately followed by a lunch in honor of the governor. Usually we also have a groundbreaking or a building dedication ceremony in the afternoon, and this year, as in some prior years, the university's annual sports banquet winds up the day's activities.
In the week preceding commencement, a very important meeting takes place on the University of Alaska campus. It's the semi-annual meeting of the regents. Could you tell us, Mr. Miller, just what its purpose is?
Well, the regents, of course, must approve the granting of degrees, and this is the primary purpose of this session of the board in the few days immediately prior to commencement. Of course, at their annual semi-meeting, the regents also discuss a number of projects and programs for the university. Some of these include the university's construction program, some matters related to the budget, and, of course, prior to the full meeting of the board, a number of committees of regents also are in session.
Could you tell us about those three hectic days which will be surrounding this year's commencement?
Well, things really get kind of busy after the regents have concluded their meeting, and we swing into commencement weekend. Alumni Day starts things off. This is always held on Saturday, and the classes of several years are traditionally honored in this program. This year, the classes of 1958, 48, 38, and 28 will be honored. The Alumni Association holds its annual meeting during the day, and a luncheon at noon. Alumni tour the campus, and then in the evening, the alumni has their annual banquet. Sunday, the following day, is baccalaureate, and this year, the speaker for baccalaureate will be the Reverend Dr. Walter A. Sobolev, Grand President of the Alaska Native Brotherhood. Following the baccalaureate program, of course, is the annual reception for seniors given by the alumni, and this year, we also plan to have a dedication ceremony. The big day, of course, is commencement, and again, this will be held on a Monday, this year, Monday, May 20th. And our speakers will be Dr. Joseph H. Fitzgerald, Chairman of the Federal Field Committee for Development Planning in Alaska, and William C. Harrington, former Special Assistant for Fisheries and Wildlife, with the rank of Ambassador to the Secretary of State. I might add here that this year we expect to have about 315 graduates compared to 266 last year. Last year's number of graduates brought the total overall to 2,206.
Two academic semesters lie within an academic year, but the University of Alaska also offers summer sessions. Could you tell us just when they begin this year, Mr. Miller?
Well, summer sessions this year begin on June 11th, and this is the first of three sessions that will be held. Of course, each summer we also have a number of special workshops and seminars held on campus, and as usual, we expect to host a large number of visitors to the campus community.
Busy days lie ahead for the University of Alaska and for its Office of University Relations. Our thanks to Mr. Don Miller, Acting Director of University Relations, for being our guest today on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the Department of News Service of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC-FM. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. A mixed bag hunter in the Kuskokwim area during late summer. Moose, caribou, and sheep are in season, but he finds a grizzly framed in his scope with only 2 days remaining before the grizzly bear season opens. He may not see another bear for years. He yields to temptation, triggers his .30-06, and in that swift moment of decision, he has committed a criminal act. To an associate professor of sociology and psychology at the University of Alaska, this hunter's behavior can be typed with that of other occasional criminal offenders and represents a burgeoning crisis in law enforcement. Associate Professor Sarkis Atamian of the University of Alaska's Department of Psychology and Sociology is our guest today on This Is Your University. Professor Atamian, in your paper entitled Criminal Typologies in Sport Hunting and Fishing, you match law-breaking hunters and fishermen with their common criminal types. Could you tell our listeners just what these types are?
Yes, the occasional petty offender is one large category. Vandalism is another category. Career criminals is another. White-collar criminals, and finally organized or syndicated criminals.
Professor Atamian, could you give us examples of these types as they would relate to hunting and fishing?
Yes, my study tries to show that what we know scientifically about these criminal types can also be utilized to study criminal types in sport hunting and fishing. Vandalism, we don't there are many theories that try to explain why vandals commit their acts of hostility. My theory is that since vandalism always takes place in a group, the individual vandal is trying to maintain a sense of identity and status according to the standards and expectations of his group. In hunting, we have this in Alaska, we call it want and waste category. It's an act of vandalism, except that it occurs against animals in the outdoors. White-collar criminals are an interesting category. This is essentially in a position of trust, which becomes violated. It's highly specialized because the average criminal would not have access to the opportunities. For example, a hijacker would rarely, if ever, commit an act of embezzlement because he has not had the years of a promotion in a bank wherein the possibility for committing such a crime can occur. A counterpart to this in hunting and fishing would be the white-collar criminal in where guides and outfitters are concerned. A guide is also a professional person in a high position of trust. He can violate laws any time away from the surveillance of law enforcement agencies.
Professor Atamian, who did you do this study for?
The present study grew out of an original study, which was more socioeconomic, done in conjunction with the Alaska State Fish and Game Department and the University of Alaska.
We've been talking with Associate Professor Sarkis Atamian of the University of Alaska's Department of Psychology and Sociology about his recent pioneering paper in social behavior on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service.
It was produced by the Department of News Service of the University of Alaska in cooperation with University's radio station, KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service.